Welcome to episode 8 of our Easter season special, The Centurion's Witness, a production of 1010 Thrive Ministries.
There are moments when a man realizes that everything he thought he understood must be reconsidered. Not discarded, reconsidered. Piece by piece, word by word, action by action. I had seen him die. I had heard the witnesses, and now I needed to understand. The city had not quieted after the tomb. If anything, it had grown louder. Not with fear, with questions. And then one morning, the questions found a voice. It was the time of the Jewish festival of Shavuot, or Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. Tens of thousands traveled to Jerusalem because it was one of the three mandatory pilgrimage festivals, requiring able-bodied adult males to appear before God at the temple. They came from across the Roman and Parthian empires to celebrate the wheat harvest and the giving of the law at Sinai. They said a crowd had gathered near the temple. Thousands, drawn not by rumor, but by something else, something they could not explain. So I went. What is happening here?
The Galileans, the followers of Jesus, they're speaking. Everyone hears them in their own language.
In their own language.
Men from Elam, Crete, and Cyrene are hearing words about Jesus, spoken in their own tongue.
I pushed through the crowd, and there, standing before them, was one of his disciples. I remembered him, the fisherman, the one who had drawn a sword in the garden. But it didn't take me long to realize that this was not the same man.
Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Listen to my words.
There was no hesitation, no fear, no trace of the man who had fled into the night after we arrested his master.
I speak to you this morning of Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know,
I took a deep breath. Yes, we knew.
This man, delivered up according to the plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified.
I winced when he said the word you.
Yes, Jesus, after ministering for 3.5 years, after preaching a message of hope and salvation, after healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and comforting the lonely. He was viciously put to death at the hands of lawless men.
I felt the words land, not on the crowd, on me.
You might be wondering, how is it that you can understand the words spoken by me and my fellow disciples? Understand them in your native dialects. We are not drunk, as some of you suppose. It is only the third hour of the day. No. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my servants, men and women alike, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall speak. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
I turned to look around me, thousands of people listening in rapt attention.
For 3.5 years, Jesus ministered in Galilee and Judea until Rome put him to death. But know this, this was not an accident. This was not a failure. This was not Rome's victory. This was the plan. You rejected the one sent to save you, but God raised him up. Yes, you heard me correctly. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. David spoke of him. I saw the Lord always before me. You will not abandon my soul to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Brothers, David died. He was buried. His tomb is with us to this day. But he was a prophet, and he saw ahead. He spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he would not be abandoned to the grave, and his body would not decay. This Jesus God has raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. We saw him, we spoke with him, we ate with him, we touched the wounds, we heard his voice again, not in memory, not in dream, not in grief, alive, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear.
I found myself holding my breath.
Let all the house of Israel know this for certain. God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified.
The crowd did not cheer. They did not shout. They broke.
What shall we do?
Tell us, Peter. What shall we do?
The question spread through them like fire.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Yes, your sins. The open ones, the hidden ones, the ones done in ignorance, and the ones done with full knowledge. The sins of your hands, the sins of your silence, the sins you cannot undo. There is forgiveness, even now. This promise is for you, for your children, for those far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.
Forgiveness. The word struck me harder than any accusation. Forgiveness. For what? For betrayal. For denial. For fear. For silence. For a spear. I stepped back from the crowd, but the words followed me. God raised him. Then the cross was not defeat, it was purpose. The suffering was not failure, it was intention. Everything he had said began to return to me.
Jesus, love your enemies, forgive them. Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith.
I remembered what he had said about the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom not built by force, not defended by swords, not secured by fear. A kingdom where power looked like surrender, where victory looked like sacrifice, and where death was not the end. We did not stop him. We fulfilled him. The weight of it settled over me, not as condemnation, as truth. And truth, once seen, cannot be unseen.
You look at the chains around you, the fear of tomorrow, the burden of yesterday, the heavy weight of expectations, and you call that living. But I tell you, many of you are captives in your own hearts. You are slaves to sin, slaves to the lies that tell you that you are not enough or that you must earn your worth. But I am not here to condemn you to your chains. I am here to bring you light. If you abide in my word, if you truly make your home in my teachings, you are my disciples. And in that abiding, you will know the truth. Not just words on a page, but the reality of who God is and who you are in him. And that truth will set you free. It is a truth that breaks the power of sin. It is a truth that silences the voice of shame. When you know that you are loved, forgiven, and children of the Father, the chains of this world cannot hold you. Do not be afraid of the truth, for it may pierce your heart, but it does so only to heal you. The lie offers comfort for a moment, but it leads to death. The truth about who I am and what I have done that brings life. Abide in me, know the truth, and you will be free indeed.
I had spent my life serving a kingdom that conquered the world, but I was now standing in the presence of a kingdom that had conquered death, and I knew I could not remain unchanged.
To be continued.